Well, I do have a question to start off with today. And that is, why is it that when we get up here to speak, and I'm talking to the ministers or those who are speaking, why do we talk about appliances at this time of year? You know, so far this Feast of Unleavened Bread, we've heard about Mr. Bruno's time-traveling stove. Not quite sure why he's getting rid of a time-traveling stove. I would be keeping hold of that. We heard about Mr. Michael Link's exploding washing machine and the catastrophic flood that ensued. I hope he's recovered. He's here today clothed, as you saw a few minutes ago, so I can assume that his washing machine is okay. We heard about Mr. Rank's habits of hosing out his toaster. My condolences to his toaster and the rust that it will be having soon. Maybe I'll have to send him a new toaster. Now, not to be outdone with all these shenanigans, I too have an appliance story to start off with today. And so I would like to tell you about the fridge. Now, out of all of the appliances that my wife and I cleaned this year, I got to do the fridge. And let me tell you, the fridge, it is one of the nastiest, most disgusting things to have to clean. Now, the worst part about the fridge is the very bottom drawer. The very bottom drawer is where everything collects from the bottom of the fridge. Anything and more than you could think of drops down into the bottom of the drawer. Now, not only that, the drawer is made of plastic and it has inserts. And in the plastic inserts, that's where crumbs somehow magically creep underneath and live. Don't ask me how. This year I found some extraterrestrial green juice that was seeped underneath alongside of dried milk that smelled amazing. And to get all of this out, I had to pull the fridge out. I had to pull the entire fridge out so that I could open the door far enough to actually be able to pull out the entire bottom section. Now, once I got this bottom section out, I was looking at it, I was trying to figure out, okay, how do I pull this plastic piece off without actually breaking and snapping this drawer? You can't. They've designed it in such a way that if you pop it out, it will break. Okay, so back to the drawing board. You can't do that to get out this green juice, this milk, these crumbs. So I went to my tool chest and I grabbed a screwdriver. I grabbed a smaller screwdriver. I grabbed a very tiny screwdriver, I grabbed a putty knife, and I finally stumbled upon a toothbrush. Now that toothbrush was the key. Hey Sam, thank you for letting me borrow your toothbrush. Just kidding. With that toothbrush, I was able to use those tiny little bristles to clean out all the crevices out of the drawer. To really get in there really deep and to get all that nasty stuff out. And it was the one thing that took the longest to clean. And the saddest part is that I know, come again this time next year, it's going to be exactly the same. I'm going to have to go through the same exact process again. Hopefully I remember to use a toothbrush. Because someone's going to spill milk. I'm sure there's a bag of seaweed that's going to once again leak its green toxin juice all over the bottom of my drawer. And I'm sure there's going to be crumbs and other nefarious pieces of food that are going to congregate, join hands, sing kumbaya, and sit in that crack and just wait for me. That's just how it's going to be. Now, the reason I think that we take so much time to talk about appliances that we have to clean is because it's the amount of effort that we put into cleaning, when we're looking for leavening or just spring cleaning in general. You know, even if we don't find leavening in the areas that we are cleaning, we can all agree that it's still a good idea to clean those areas, to pick those parts in those places that don't usually get cleaned. So the question is, how deep do we clean? Do we get pedantic and go as far as I did with cleaning that fridge drawer? And I think for each of us, that answer is a little bit different. And now I'm not referring to appliances, I'm referring to our lives. Because our lives are like that fridge drawer. Nasty. Stuff congregates. You know, when we live this life, and this happens to all of us, it can seem at times like it's endless, like it's monotonous. It can be, quite frankly, discouraging because all the ins and outs of having to deal with all the stuff that happens day in and day out. And it's when I get to this point in my life when I have these feelings, I have to take stock, I have to stop and take note of who I am, what I have, and what I need to do to keep moving forward. You have to come to the point where you have to have a purpose and a goal. Everything in our lives as Christians has to become purposeful. You know, life goes on whether you like it or not. It's not going to stop for us. Life has to be lived. It will just continue to happen whether you're in it or you're just a part of it. We all have to design our lives. Our lives have to be purposeful in all areas of our life. It takes smooth, consistent effort. Christianity, relationships, work, children. All these things have to be carved out. They have to be protected. With all that said, my title is How Deep? And I really want to convey today and ask the question, just how deep are each of us willing to go within? How deep are we willing to dig in and change? And this is going to be different for each of us. None of us have the same life, have the same life experiences, have the same emotions or wants or needs. We're all different. And that's how God has built us. And that's where it takes really digging deep. Because it takes digging in and looking at the stuff that's inside of yourself. It's you versus you. In preparing this message, I came across Proverbs 20, and a lot of the scriptures there started to stick out at me. So I'm going to go with it. We're starting in Proverbs 20 and beginning in verse 5. And we're talking about how to dig deep, how to really look within. Verse 5 of Proverbs 20, it says, "Counsel in the heart of a man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out." You ever walked across a small stream? It's pretty easy. can be likened to simple thoughts. It's pretty easy to just live life, to just do your thing. But as when you get to a deeper river, you can't walk anymore. That water is going really fast. And it says a man of understanding will be able to draw that out. It takes a lot of wisdom. It takes a lot of thought and effort to really understand how to live this life, how to continue to follow God in all the ways that he wants us to go as we walk. It's not easy. It's not something that we can just waltz through. Continuing on in verse 9, it says, who can say, I have made my heart clean. I am pure from sin. Again, a deep saying. Yes, we make ourselves clean, and especially at this time of year, right? As we really dig in and look for those things that weigh us down and bog our feet down. The scrubbing that we do, not just the drawer of the fridge, it begins in our hearts, in our minds. It begins with the thoughts that we allow, the thoughts that we harbor. It begins with the intentions that we allow. It begins with the wisdom that we hold. And quite frankly, sometimes the wisdom that we actually allow to slip away. Continue on in verse 11. Even a child is known by his deeds, whether what he does is pure and right. I found this interesting that this scripture, what it says here, is mixed along with a bunch of other things that are pointed towards deep thinking. Now, a child is trained by their parents. It's essentially, as they're growing up, they become a byproduct of what is being produced. One of the guys I like to listen to on a podcast says that there are no bad teams. There are only bad leaders. So, as parents, it behooves us to really think about and to consider and to pray and to continually refine our strategy for the sake of our children. Now, God wouldn't have this to be been written down unless he considered it something to be very important. Now, when a child is older, it becomes their responsibility. It's their choice to become the person they're going to be. But until that time, it is the responsibility of the parents to figure out how to continue to lead them properly. Again, not an easy thing to do. It's very, very deep. Verse 18. Plans are established by counsel. By wise counsel, wage war. We heard a little bit about this morning. It takes the wisdom of God. It takes the help from God to be able to wage war against Satan and his minions of darkness. It takes that same help from God to wage war against the self, pride, your ego, maybe bitterness that so easily slips in. Those things, they taint good counsel. Ever realize, think about how easy those attitudes attach themselves to our thinking? Pride is such a quick thing to fall into, and it gets in the way of our growth. What about fragile egos? Afraid to let go of what we consider to be right, unwilling to listen to the counsel of others because we're the ones that are right. Continuing on in verse 27. The spirit of a man is a lamp of the Lord, searching all the inner depths of his heart. The inner depths of a man, the inner depths of a woman, those parts where maybe no one else even knows. Maybe we don't even know sometimes the inner depths of our thinking. In a psalm, David asks to be shown his secret and hidden sins, those things that were hidden even to him. He asked God to reveal them to him so that he could learn more about himself, so he could use his spirit to become a lamp for God, a light. We should want to know the truth about ourselves in all of our areas. But the reality is that most of us want to, but maybe we may not be able to, because we don't often put forth the necessary effort to find the truth, because it's oftentimes it's uncomfortable to see the truth when it comes to light. In verse 30, blows that hurt cleanse away evil, as do stripes the inner depths of the heart. When we don't take the time and the effort and the courage to follow through on the previous verse we just read, sometimes God has to step in and he has to help us. And sometimes that involves blows and stripes that we may not necessarily want to go through or think that we should have to go through. But God says, if you would judge yourselves, I wouldn't have to do these things. But we cannot be afraid of God's correction, his admonitions. We have to rather learn to lean into them, to embrace them. It's not easy to say. But we have to realize that God loves us, that he won't do any harm to us. And what he allows to happen is for our benefit. So I just want to close by saying that these are deep sayings. They require a lot of thought and mental fortitude to dig through and to understand why God has them written there. I'd like to close with a scripture in Philippians 4 and verse 17, because I think it ties well. And this is Paul, and he says, Philippians 4, 17, not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. The gift that we are going to give as an offering is just but a small token to God. It's a little piece of the puzzle. He wants to see what we'll give him. But more than that, he wants to see how deep we will go, how much we can abound, how much we can grow. It just depends on how deep we want to go.